All right, it's flat God's country, amen. I like mountain God's country, amen. But anyhow, it's good to have her here today, and thank the Lord. Just to have a good time of fellowship and just enjoy some good times together, amen. Well, let's take our Bible. I better get mine, amen. And let's go to the book of Proverbs this morning. And we're just walking along through the scriptures. And we're at Proverbs chapter 6 this morning. And we'll begin there. Now, let's see if you remember anything. Who wrote most of the books of Proverbs? Solomon. Solomon wrote most of them. Not all of them, but most of them. And what is the main theme of Proverbs? Wisdom. Wisdom is the main theme. And it teaches us what wisdom is, what it's not, and how to gain wisdom for our life. And it's so important because the Bible teaches wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Wisdom is the most important thing in your life that you and I can gain. And so we're going to look at it out of Proverbs chapter 6. Verses 1 through 15. Now, we're talking today, our lesson is on the wisdom in our progress. Wisdom in our progress. And this is talking just basically about the progress of life and where we're going, where we're heading, what principles of wisdom should guide us in life. So we're going to look at that thought today. So let's begin Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 1. Bible says, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. This do now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe, that's a deer, from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually, he soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for the privilege to open thy word and teach it this morning. And Lord, what a privilege it is. And we pray that you would help us to rightly divide the word this morning. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would gain the wisdom of these principles in our heart and our mind, Lord, today. Pray you teach us wisdom, Lord. Help us to not be a people void of wisdom, but that, Lord, thy wisdom would be in our mind and in our hearts from thy word this morning. So teach us thy word these few moments, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, now the practical path of wisdom is essential to our way in which we will go in life. Do you know that everybody has an idea of where they want to head in life. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about where you want to be when you're 80 years old? You ever thought about that? You ever thought, what do I want my life to accomplish? What do I want my life to be said? What are the words that could be put on my gravestone that aptly depict my life? You ever thought about that? I believe this passage is talking about, and it's kind of giving us this understanding of how wisdom is there for the progress of life, to where our life can progress in the right way. You know, everybody has a way in which they want to follow in life. You know, even the thief has a way he wants to go. He wants to get some money so he can have something, right? And the only problem is because he doesn't use wisdom to get progress, he gets thrown in jail, and that's no progress, right? If you're in jail, there's no progress there, right? And so the principles of wisdom are teaching us at whatever level we are in our spiritual growth that we've got to follow wisdom in our life. Folks, listen, you and I cannot progress in life without the principles of God's word guiding us. Amen. It's not going to happen. Right. It's not going to happen. We've got to have God's word in our heart and our mind. We have to take it seriously. We have to believe that God's wisdom is vital for our life and where we're trying to go and where we're trying to head. You know, youth doesn't always think, where do I want to go or what do I want to accomplish? But somewhere along the line, hopefully this understanding takes hold of us that says, I want to use my life to accomplish something. I want to do something. And if you're a Christian, that should be the Lord. You want to do something for the Lord with your life. And so there's principles. We're going to look at some principles here that the passage reveals that give us wisdom in the progress of life. Well, number one, wisdom in our friendships. Now, verses 1-4 deal with our friendships and those that we've made a friend with. And he talks about wisdom in friendships. You know, friends can be one of the greatest things to help you in life as you progress in life. I've known people that shunned friends and didn't want friendships. And, you know, it affected their life and it affected their progress in life. It affected their ability to do well in life. Friendships are important. We need friendships. How many times has a friend prayed for us when we needed prayer? How many times has a friend been there for us? And you know, there's wisdom in friendship. And it's written in this passage, verses 1-4. So let's look at verse number 1. Notice verse 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thine hand with a stranger. No. So number 1, a friend keeps agreements. A friend keeps agreements. You know, friendships should be based on the trust that you keep an agreement. If you say, I'll do something, then you do that. You fulfill what you say. You keep an agreement. And what does that do? That builds the bond of trust in a friendship. And what that does, by building a bond of trust in friendship, it gives you someone that you can depend on and someone be someone that other one depends on, because you have agreements and you keep an agreement. And you know, that's important in life, because the day always comes when we need a friend. The day comes when we need a friend. And we have to build that friendship before we can ever enjoy the benefits of a friendship. Amen? I like to have friends. How many of you have ever moved before? Anybody ever moved? You know what you do when you move? Hey, friend, can you come over and help me move? Right? Amen? Now, hey, if you don't have any friends, guess what? You get to move that piano all by yourself. Right? And so, isn't there an understanding that there is wisdom in having good friends? You know, I think that you can be friends with a lot of different kinds of people. Amen? I think you can be friends, a friend. And And the Bible tells us, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. Friendship isn't just having a friend, it's being a friend. And there's a lot of wisdom in just being a friend to other people. Years ago, there was a lady that came up here. She ran out of gas. And I didn't have any cash in my pocket. You know, you don't hardly carry cash anymore, but I had some gas in a gas can. And I said, well, I can put some gas in a gas. Oh, would you do that? Put some gas in her car from the gas can. She tooled on down the road, and I thought I'd never see the lady again. Well, about a month later, she came, showed up in church. She shook my hand, put a $5 bill in my hand, said, thanks for the gas. Now, that was many years ago, because a $5 bill wouldn't cover it anymore, right? If you've been to the gas pump lately. But it's just a simple illustration how God's people should be friends even to everybody. Amen? Amen. All right, secondly, the principle teaches here in verse 2, a friend keeps promises. A friend keeps promises. Notice verse 2. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. And you know, I think a Christian understands that if you make a promise, that you should do everything you can to make sure you keep that promise. Amen? Amen? If you promise something, you say, well, I don't know if I can fulfill it, then don't promise it. Right? Yeah. Only promise what you know you can fulfill. And sometimes even in the making of a promise, something arises where you can't fulfill it, or, you know, a difficulty comes. Then you go to your friend and you talk to your friend and you explain to them, this is what happened, but I will do my best to take care of it. And you, what you're doing is you're honoring the words of your mouth. And what that means is that you're forming a bond based on the words of your mouth. And a friendship is that bond of trust that comes by the words and the promises that we make and keep. Amen? And that is how you know you have good friends. But that is also how we know we are a good friend to other people, is by how well we keep our promises. So it's very important in our life. There's wisdom in keeping our promises. You know, I found that everyone has these things in life. You have those times when you are, you have and you give. And then there are times when you need and you can't give. We all have those times. Amen? They elect a good president and we have plenty. They elect Biden and now everybody has a need. Amen? Just thought I'd throw that out there. Amen. I'm not a politically correct preacher, so don't worry about that. But I'm saying there's times in our life when we have something, and then there's times in our life we have nothing. And it's when we have nothing that we often depend on a friend to be there to help us out. And that friendship and that need can often only be met many times by being a friend when you have the opportunity to be a friend. Amen? So what I'm simply trying to say this morning is that Solomon is saying there is wisdom in having good friendships. Now, no friend is perfect. Amen? If you want a perfect friendship, you won't have any. Okay? No friend is perfect. And sometimes we should allow our friends to make mistakes or fail us and still remain a friend. Amen? Because there are many times when we may fail and we may make a mistake with a friend. And so out of that same heart, that same spirit, we become a good friend. And boy, I'll tell you what, in life, you may have a lot of money, you may have a lot of things, but I'll tell you what, if you have good friends in life, you've lived a wise life. You've lived a wise life. All right. Okay, number three then here, friendships are kept with humility. I like this, verse 3. He said, do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. So friendships are often kept with humility. You know, sometimes a mistake is made in a friendship. If you make a mistake in a friendship, recognize it. And he says, what do? You humble yourself and you make sure your friend, you keep that friendship. And how do you keep it? You keep it through humility. And you say, I made that mistake and I apologize. You know, our own pride costs us friendships. Our own pride costs us friendships. And you know, well, some people really struggle with humility, but you know, we shouldn't, because that's what the Lord Jesus Christ was. He was humble. He humbled himself, went all the way to the cross, humbling himself. And so if we have his spirit in us, we'll be humble also. Now, humble doesn't mean you walk around mealy mouth and, you know, it means that you recognize that inside yourself, we really are nothing, but that God in us is everything. And so humility says, Lord Jesus, help me to be what you want me to be for my friends. And humility is an important part of friendship. In other words, friendship isn't a one-way street. Friendship's a two-way street. It's receiving and giving, receiving and giving. And that's what he's talking about, and this wisdom that comes from that. All right, now there's a fourth thing here we see. And I think he's talking about friendship when we're weary. Verse 4, give not sleep to thine eyelids, nor slumber to thy, give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. And I think in the context of the passage, he's saying there's times when we're weary in a friendship. You know, a friend loveth at all times. You know that scripture? A friend loveth at all times. And you may not always feel that, right? And then there's some times you remember in scripture when a man came, I believe it's the book of Matthew, when a guy came and visited his friend, he said, I don't have anything. So he went to his friend and knocked on his door and he said, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Somebody's come to visit me and I don't have anything to put before him. Will you lend me 3 loaves? And what did the friend do? He shut the door. He said, hey, we're all in bed. Leave us alone. And I think what the scripture's teaching us here is there are times in life when we will be weary, but it's important that we still maintain a friendships, even when we're weary, even when we're tired. All right? All right, let's go on to the second thing here. We see the wisdom of the ant in verses 6 through 11. I like this. He says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. I have an ant hill over at the church parsonage. It's kind of in the gravel part over there, and it's been there for years, and I don't want to destroy it. I love that ant hill. It's the most amazing thing. Great big ants come out, a big old pile will come out, and you watch these ants. And they actually create these pathways through the lawn. And I mean, they're visible. You can actually see them with the naked eye. I mean, you can see where they're going, and they're gathering their food, and they're bringing it in. And you can see the ant. Now, the ant teaches us some things about wisdom. And it says in verse 7, the ant, verse 7, which having no guide, overseer or ruler. Now, this ant doesn't need an external motivator, but by a sense of duty and responsibility, this is the ant's master. You know, there ought to be something inside of us that spurs us to be doing our duty. Amen? There ought not be always this, the outward boss saying, get back to work, keep doing what you're supposed to do. You know, some people have to operate that way, and that's not wise. God's saying the ant has this internal motivation of, this is what's right, this is a sense of duty, this is my responsibility. And I'm going to fulfill that responsibility with everything I can, because it's the right thing to do. Now, he's saying that that's wisdom. You know, there's a lot of things in life that have to get done that maybe you don't like to do. Do you have things that you have on your list that you don't want to do? Is there anybody? All right. I think that includes all of us, right? And then there are things that your wife puts on your list. Right? That you don't want to do? I see conviction in the church this morning here, right? There are things that my wife puts on my list. And you know what? To accomplish life, to accomplish things in life, to progress in life, there has to be this internal motivation of right and wrong. It says, no, that's wrong. I'm not going to do that. There's no external source that says, do this. Now, don't get me wrong. We have God and the Bible. We have preachers that preach the truth. But the truth is meant to lodge inside of us. It's meant to be in us so that when we need it, we can progress well in life. It's just like those ants, you know. There's no head ant telling everybody, all right, you go over here, and I want you down that pathway and go down there and get you some grass seed and bring it in here. And hip. You don't see an ant on the top of the pile with a whistle in his mouth, right? Somehow all those ants know that they have a job to do and that they're going to do that one job and that they're going to do it well. And this is what Proverbs was teaching us as wisdom, is that we have right and wrong ingrained inside of us that we know is right or wrong, and we're just going to do what God says is right and wrong. Amen. And that is wisdom in life. Wisdom doesn't say, I always need somebody motivating me. You know, when we gain motivation from God's word to know what's right, it's up to us to hold that in our heart. It's up to us to use it when we need it and to keep that wisdom in our minds. Amen? Because you see, we all individually are going to answer to God individually. Did you know that? Each one of us are going to individually answer to God. I'm going to answer to God for what I hold in my heart and what I don't. And all of us are. So God's teaching us this wisdom, so we hold it in our own minds and that we just follow what God wants us to do out of a sense of duty, responsibility, a sense of right and wrong. You know, the problem with one of the problems with our world today is that people just want to get by with whatever they want to get by with. I mean, if we can keep getting by doing whatever we want to do and we can make it, we're not going to do what we know is internally right to do. I mean, I tell you what, that's a recipe for disaster. That's a recipe for trouble. And so the ant doesn't do that. The ant says, this is my duty. This is my responsibility, and I'm going to take that up. Amen? And, you know, we live in a world where everybody wants to shift the blame, shift the responsibility. You know, it's somebody else's fault. But, you know, that's not wise. Wisdom says, all right, this is my area of responsibility, and I'm going to take it up inside my heart and do the best I can with it. Amen. And therein we find wisdom. Okay, and then we see about this ant also in verse 8, that she provides, verse 8. Notice verse 8, provideth her meat in the summer. She's going to take care of things. She's going to take care of what needs to be taken care of. She's a provider. And that means that she makes this great effort to prepare, to do things. You know, the best things in life come through a lot of preparation and a lot of effort. Amen? A lot of effort. It takes a lot of effort to do things in life that are worthwhile. But I tell you what, it's worth the effort. Amen? It's worth the effort. Okay, and then lastly, according to verse 8, she gathers her food in harvest. Now, this is important because she sees the winter is coming. Remember the kids' book you used to read? How many of you read The Ant and the Grasshopper? You ever read that? I don't know where that book went, but that's a great book for kids. And the grasshopper, he plays all summer, he plays all winter, but that ant is working hard and preparing and sweating, and then the winter comes, and the grasshopper has nothing. He's out in the cold, but the ant has plenty of provisions. And I think that what he's teaching us here is in life, we should have this ability to foresee where we need to go and what we need to do in life. My blessings a year from now are often come because of decisions I make today. And it's that ability to be able to see, Lord, I foresee what I need to do. I can look ahead. And Lord, even though it may not benefit me today, help me, Lord, to do that wisely so that tomorrow or down the road, I'll be blessed. And I'll tell you, it's an important principle of wisdom to gain. So she gathers her food in the harvest. When things are lean, she is prepared because she's gathered when things were good. There's a danger with being impulsive. Impulsive. Boy, we live in an impulsive world today. And boy, as soon as we have a little bit, whew, it's got to be gone. Well, what are you going to do when you don't have anything? It's wise, save up a little bit, because that day may come when you don't have something. It's this wisdom of being able to foresee that things can be difficult or things down the road can be hard. And so we give wisdom the rule in our life. And that's really what it is. It's allowing wisdom to control us and allowing it to be used in our life, because that is what gives us the blessings of life down the road. Progress. All right? You still with me? All right. Well, let's look at the third section as we outline this section, verses 12 through 15. Now, in verses 12 through 15, he talks about ungodly, and he talks about associations with evil people and ungodly people. Notice verse number 12. He says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. Now, there's wisdom in avoiding ungodly actions. Boy, every Christian ought to learn there's a lot of things in life we want to avoid. Amen? And one of these things he talks about is somebody with a froward mouth. Now, the word froward means perverse. I mean, he's just somebody with a filthy mouth. And usually somebody like that. Have you ever met anybody like that? Boy, it's just, to me, it's repulsive. It's like, I don't want to be around that person. I mean, keep me away. We were fishing this past summer and got on a boat, and the captain kind of had a filthy mouth. And I knew we had to be on that boat all day long. And you know, a good cure that I always use is I say, you know what? I'm a Baptist preacher. Now, you can't say that, but you can say, I'm a Baptist Christian. And he started in. Guess what? The froward mouth stopped. Amen. So I believe we can influence our world in the way they speak just by standing up sometimes and being a Christian, saying, you know, I don't like that. My pastor, when I was growing up, Pastor Davis, he tells a story of how he stopped and helped a guy broken down his car alongside the road, and he pulled over to help him, and the guy had a wrench and was working on his motor, and he'd slip with the wrench, and man, when he'd slip, he'd hit his hand and he'd say a cuss word. He said he did that 2 or 3 times. And finally, he was helping the guy, and he asked him, what do you do? He said, well, I'm a Baptist preacher. So the next time the guy slipped with his handle, he slipped with his hand, and he said, oh, baloney. Oh, baloney. Amen. I love it. You know, in our world today, we're going to meet people like that. And I think it's good to stand as a Christian. Yeah. Amen? And let them know that. But if not, then we ought to avoid those kind of people. And that's wise. That's wise. Because, you know, if you're around people that talk wrong and dirty, guess what? It's going to rub off on us. Yeah. Amen? My dad always told me, if you run with a skunk, you're going to smell like a skunk. And it is true, even today. And so there's a wisdom in avoiding that. Not because we think we're better, but because we do not want to get drawn into that. That's not the way of good progress in life. Okay? So he avoids the person with a froward mouth. All right, well then it also says here, he avoids devising mischief. Now, it talks about this man who's an ungodly man, a wicked man, but he's clever enough to do mischievous things. But his problem is that he's not looking down the road with wisdom. He's trying to progress. You know, even evil men are trying to progress. They're trying to have something or be something in life. But what they fail to understand is you can never be something, you can never accomplish something without wisdom guiding you. And so, and isn't it funny? Some people can devise the most clever ways to do something wrong. You ever met anybody like that? I mean, if they would just use their mind for good and right, how far they could go, you know? And so the Bible's teaching us as a people, just be careful. Stay away from people that are going to have a froward mouth. They're devising mischief because it will affect us. But again, he fails to act in wisdom to do what's right, and it brings him backward in progress. And it brings him backwards. You know, I believe this. Bible principles are even good for business and how you do your business in life. Bible principles are good for business. The Bible will promote us if we'll follow it in business. Amen. Okay, so he said then, verse 8, stay far from her. Stay far from her. Stay away. Now, there's two that I didn't write down here that I want you to see. Notice verse number 14. I'm sorry. Yeah, verse 14. Frowardness is in his heart. He devises mischief continually. He soweth discord. Now, notice that. He sows discord. He likes to see two people divided by his words. That's sad. That's sad. You know, wicked people like to divide. That's the devil's tactic. The devil tries that. The devil tries to divide. You know, even in warfare, if you study warfare tactics, if you can divide your enemy, you can conquer him. Divide and conquer. But you know, when two people stand for what's right and someone comes along and sows discord, and that even happens in a church, that happens in a home, that happens in a workplace, and oftentimes it's somebody trying to progress, somebody trying to climb a ladder, and so they have to step on others to climb that ladder. You know what? I read my Bible and I understand that God can promote man. God can bless man when we do it God's way. And usually that guy that's always stepping on somebody to climb that ladder, he usually ends up reaping what he sows. And he usually ends up getting stepped on himself and falling off of that ladder. But real progress and blessings in life are formed when we... Scared the fire out of me. I don't know where that came from. Oh, by the way, that happens when the organ itself times out and it goes to the amplifier, and the amplifier doesn't know what to do with the signal, so it comes right out in the sound. So anyhow, now you know a little bit about an organ. Anyway. Now, how do I get back to seriousness? How do we do that? Amen? All right. Well, we probably ought to just end right there. Amen? I don't think we're going to go any further. Amen. All right. All right. Well, suffice it to say, let me just sum it up. The way we want to go in life is going to be blessed by God only when we follow God's principles. God's principles will bless our life if we have the wisdom to use them, and if we have the heart to want that wisdom in our heart. And you know, sometimes I admit in my own life, I just kind of wanted to do what I wanted to do. You know? And usually it just doesn't work out right. But when you follow God's principles, you may not understand the pathway that leads us, but you can trust that in the end, God's going to bless it. And it's going to be good and right because it's in God's word. Amen? So let's make our lives this pathway of following wisdom ahead of time for the Lord's glory. Amen. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your blessings, and thank you for the privilege to gain wisdom, that you wrote a book, your word, that we can have it. So teach us wisdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.